to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
Welcome, everyone, to this night's webinar on ketogenic diet entitled Keto 101. So let's start right off and talk about what is the ketogenic diet? Well, a keto or ketogenic diet is a very low-carb diet which turns your body into a fat-burning machine. It has many proven benefits for weight loss, health, and performance. Ketones are actually small molecules that are produced in the liver and used as a fuel throughout the body. On a ketogenic diet, your entire body switches its fuel supply to run almost entirely on fat. Insulin levels, as a result, become very low, and fat burning increases dramatically. It becomes easy to access your fat stores to burn them off. This is obviously great if you're trying to lose weight. But there are also numerous other less obvious benefits, such as appetite suppression and an improved steady supply of energy. So next, let's look in greater detail at the benefits of eating a ketogenic diet. Now, the number one reason why people choose a keto diet is to lose weight. And by limiting carbohydrates and sugars, the body burns fat faster. Actually, according to the Obesity Medicine Association, what makes the ketogenic diet a successful option for losing weight is that when the body uses fat for fuel instead of carbohydrates or sugar, it puts the body into a state of ketosis that allows the body to break down fat into ketones. And it is this energy consumption shift that produces weight loss. Now, every month when I do these webinars, there is a number of resources that it would be very difficult to share with you on the slides. And verbally, you wouldn't be able to take it all down. So what we do every month is tomorrow we'll post on our Discover Health Facebook group area on Facebook, which is a closed Facebook group that we have that's ongoing. It's a building community of people that are all trying to learn and optimize their health and empower themselves. We post a number of links and things. So one thing we will post tomorrow, for example, is a video from Megan Kelly today that tells the story of an individual who lost 120 pounds on the ketogenic diet. It's an amazing story, and you're not going to want to miss that. So if you are not already a member of our closed Discover Health, Facebook group, what you would want to do is just go on Facebook and go to the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center Facebook page, basic business page, but then look for the option to request to become a member of our Facebook group. And all you got to do is ask. Pretty much as long as we can confirm somebody's not like a computer machine or something and trying to hack us, we let you in, obviously. And you come on in, and tomorrow, again, you will be able to get access to the video I just discussed, as well as many other resources I'll be talking about as I go through more of this talk tonight. So let's talk about this benefit of curbing the appetite. Another benefit of the diet is that a low-carb diet is more likely to curb hunger cravings that are often associated with dieting. Do you remember Dr. Atkins, Dr. Robert Atkins of the Atkins diet? He explains this best. Quote, after a couple of days, you will find you are in control of your appetite. That's because once your body's two-day supply of glycogen, which is stored sugar or stored glucose, diminishes, and you make the switch to primarily burning fat. And when you burn fat, that's called lipolysis. And this suppresses your appetite. So lipolysis is the breakdown of fats and other lipids to release what are called fatty acids. To best understand lipolysis suppression, a health writer by the name of Stephen Christensen explains that when your energy needs increase or your blood glucose level falls, the production of hormones that mobilize your energy stores begins to rise. These hormones, such as glucagon and adrenaline, stimulate the breakdown of fat. Again, that's called lipolysis, which involves the breakdown of triglycerides stored in your fat tissue. And this all cuts back on cravings and is a definite plus when trying to lose those extra pounds. Now, other benefits include, in addition to weight loss, a keto diet reduces the risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You see, when we consume carbohydrates, the body turns them into glucose or sugar, which in turn promotes higher insulin production because insulin is necessary to help the body utilize the glucose. Insulin is a hormone produced in the pancreas that regulates the metabolism of glucose by promoting the absorption of it from the blood into your liver, your fat cells, and your muscle cells. By eliminating carbohydrates from our diets, the body no longer is able to store glucose, preventing the body from producing too much insulin. Thus, the blood sugar levels are maintained at optimal health levels. This can help reverse insulin resistance, which is the primary cause of type 2 or adult onset diabetes, and also heart disease. So despite the ketogenic diet being high in fat, the diet has been proven to reduce heart disease markers like high cholesterol and triglycerides while raising good cholesterol. You see, the biggest thing that causes truly heart disease is not fat. It's actually inflammation. And when fat gets inflamed, it gets toxic and gets more dense, and the particles become smaller and inflamed and hot and dangerous. And that's when, if they bang into the wall of your vessel, they can cause a wound in the wall of your artery, and therefore then that wound has to heal, and the cells get inside the wall of the artery and develop a plaque. So you see, it's not just, you know, big fat globules of fat in your blood that really cause heart disease as much as it is how inflamed those particles are. And blood sugar is an inflammatory agent. So if you want to really reduce your risk of heart disease, the number one thing you really want to do is decrease your inflammation and your blood sugar levels. Now, the next benefit I want to make sure we talk about is the keto diet is also known to optimize brain function and health. The ketones, which the liver derives from fatty acids, are called, and there won't be a quiz, but they're hydroxybutyrate, acetoacetate, and acetone. These ketones are taken up by cells and shuttled into the mitochondria and used as fuel. Ketones increase the number of mitochondria in your cells. Mitochondria are are these little tiny energy factories in your cells, and particularly in your brain cells. Hydroxybutyrate has been shown to be an even more efficient fuel for your brain cells than glucose. For the brain, because it produces more energy per unit of hydroxybutyrate than any unit of glucose does in the brain. Many neurological diseases share an underlying cause of deficient energy production. So it is being shown in research studies all over the place that a ketogenic diet is helping improve brain function. The next benefit is ketones also promote healthy detoxification. We are all exposed to an enormous amount of toxins in our environment. And what you'll see in the slide up right now is that with all the toxins we're exposed to, they have to be broken down in our body in different phases of our detox system. Phase one, phase two, in order to make, for example, a fat-soluble toxin become water-soluble so that it can be eliminated in your bowel or in your through your urine, through your bladder and your kidneys. Now, ketones directly inhibit the production of free radicals. We've all probably heard of free radicals. They're dangerous. They are formed during the detox pathways, the different phases, and they actually are more dangerous than the actual original toxin in the first place. And they cause what's called oxidative stress and increase toxicity in your body. But the ketones decrease free radicals by increasing the activity of glutathione. Glutathione is a chemical produced typically through your liver, and it is the strongest antioxidant the body can produce. And when you have enough glutathione, it binds to free radicals, and rather than making them a charged, dangerous particle, it neutralizes them. Now, another thing that ketones do to help with inflammation and toxicity is ketones also increase polyunsaturated fatty acids, or also called PUFAs, P-U-F-As. And these include things like omega-3 fatty acids like DHA and EPA, which are known to reduce oxidative stress and inflammation. So with all those benefits in mind, let's talk about, well, what's on the menu in a keto diet. Now that we understand this, we've gone over, you know, the benefits, and let's talk about this food list. So per something called the Keto Summit Online, and later tomorrow we're going to post this, some of this information, but let's list off some of these foods for you. Keto acceptable foods include, and number one, I'll point out, you do see a lot of color in the diet, and color should always be one of the number one things you want, and any diet should really come from a foundation in vegetables and plants. So first of all, non-starchy vegetables, berries, and then, of course, peas and green beans and other greens are exceptionally important for the ketogenic diet. Meats and organ meats are also on the okay list. Healthy fats, especially healthy oils like ghee, coconut oil, and olive oil. Limes and lemons are on the list. Nut butters and nut milks, such as almond, coconut, and cashew butters and milks are all going to be a staple for people on the keto diet. Bone broth, which is made from different types of, you know, whether it's a bone broth made from chicken or bone broth made from beef or a bone broth made from fish, are all going to be exceptional. Gelatin, vinegars, shellfish and other seafood, nuts and seeds, herbs and spices, avocado, olives, coffee, tea, coconut, eggs, stevia, and mustards are all part of things that are acceptable on the keto diet. So it's quite a diversity of foods to be choosing from. So now let's talk about, well, what do you have to ditch? Let's talk about what you will be removing from your diet. First of all, obviously we don't want sugars. So all sugars, whether white sugar, fructose, corn syrup, honey, brown sugar, lactose, maple syrup, agave, and coconut sugar all have to go. The other thing, folks, is that all grains, whether that be wheat, white flour, rye, couscous, rice, wheat flour, oats, barley, cornmeal, corn, rice flour, millet, bran, or buckwheat. That's a long list, folks, of a lot of different grains out there. And no matter what, all grains are turned into sugar or glucose. So you need to make sure that you're not eating essentially any grains on the ketogenic diet. Now, most fruits are also actually eliminated because, of course, fruits have a lot of glucose. So particularly things like canned fruit. Canned fruit, folks, are in a solution. The fluid in canned fruit is a condensed sugar solution. So obviously that's going to be out. So no canned fruits. Essentially apples, oranges, pears, peaches, pomegranate, grapes, watermelon, cantaloupe, kiwi, bananas, cherries, mangoes, apricot, papaya, and figs would not be actually on the list. All the berries you want, though, are fine. And dried fruits are also not included in this at all. The thing about dried fruits, folks, is if you dry a fruit out, then you have condensed the amount of sugar in that food product by thousands of times because you've taken all the water out and you've just condensed the sugar. So obviously any type of dried fruit would also not be eaten. The next thing off the list is all processed foods and beverages, such as sodas, juices, and of course, alcohol. Now again, tomorrow we will post in our Discover Health Facebook group a link to this Keto Summit list of foods to include and to avoid. So again, if you have not joined our community on Facebook, please be sure to do so after this webinar. Again, all you do is go to our Discover Health Facebook page and request to join our closed Discover Health Facebook group. Everyone is welcome. Now, I'm just going to go through a minute the different meals of the day, because for just not a long time, but just a few comments about it. And first of all, there are lots of options for breakfast, both savory and sweet. So whatever you are craving, there are plenty of healthy recipes for you. Some recipes we will post again tomorrow on our Discover Health Facebook group include things like crustless mini quiche, charred and sausage hash, and actually maple sausage patties. So as you can hear from those names, and you'll find out tomorrow, there's a diversity of foods on the breakfast list. Now, a lot of us, lunch happens on the go or is eaten without too much thought. Their busy lives, planning and preparing healthy lunches is actually, for many of us, a challenge. But what you gotta realize is that it's extremely worth it to take the time to prepare for your day, to maintain your energy levels throughout the day and not fall off course. So some of the recipes tomorrow that we'll post on the Discover Health Facebook group are things like mini pepper nachos, cauliflower fritters. So again, you'll notice there's going to be, you know, so many people are out there now doing a keto diet and finding variety and finding ways to make it amazingly beneficial and full of variety and full of color. And again, maintaining vegetables and plants within this diet to keep it as healthy as possible. And when it comes to dinner, dinner is time to sit down with the family and discuss the events of the day over a delicious, nutritious meal. Planning and eating well is a great way to be present in the moment and to share something special with your family. So some recipes that we'll post for dinner options are sausage fried rice and keto lasagna. And finally, let's rest assured that dessert is still on the table. Thankfully, so many people have made the move to healthy eating, resulting in countless healthy recipes out there that soothe that sweet tooth without all the added sugar. And some of the recipes we will actually post tomorrow. The names might be a little deceiving, but they do fit the keto diet. One is Mom's Texas Brownies. Another one is keto chocolate chip cookies, and another one is no-bake cheesecake. So by the names of those, wow, you're not going to want to miss seeing those recipes. And of course, snacks. It's important when you are trying to change bad eating habits to always be prepared for those sneaky cravings. Without something at the ready for those midday or after exercise cravings, it is easy to fall off track for something packaged and quick. And here are some snacks to have on hand for those cravings. Tomorrow again, we'll post some of these recipes. Vanilla pumpkin seed clusters, soy sauce marinated deviled eggs, and spicy sausage cheese dip. So now let's go into a discussion of debunking some myths. You see, as with any diet, there are always naysayers or just sometimes honest questions that arise. Let's take a look at a few of the myths out there surrounding the ketogenic lifestyle. First of all, myth number one, the brain needs glucose to maintain healthy function. A ketogenic diet does not provide glucose. The truth is that ketones may actually burn more efficiently with less waste, as we discussed earlier with the benefits of this diet. Once the body has become fully keto adapted, the brain actually gets up to 70%, 75% of its energy needs from ketones. The remaining 25% glucose needed by the brain can be obtained by processing other things than sugar, such as dietary proteins, some less sugar-filled carbohydrates, and carbohydrates are not necessary to this overall process. Myth number two. A ketogenic diet is not nutritionally sufficient for proper vitamin absorption, resulting in dangerous vitamin deficiencies. And this couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is, in practice, you probably consume more vitamins and minerals on a ketogenic diet than you ever have on the standard American diet. Because remember, the acronym for the standard American diet is SAD, SAD. As long as you are eating whole foods, such as natural fats, meats, leafy green vegetables, and not packaged low-carb junk food, you are absolutely gonna get more vitamins and minerals and have a healthier diet. And I'd like to share with you that Dr. Terry Walls, who is a medical doctor that lives with multiple sclerosis, a very horrible degenerative brain disease and neurological disease. And at one time in her life, a number of years ago, when she developed the disease and was doing all the traditional medicine on all the medicines and everything, she continually got worse and worse to the point that she was living her life not only in a wheelchair, but in a zero gravity chair due to her disease, which means she couldn't even sit up straight in a regular wheelchair. She had to be in a chair that leaned back because she couldn't even hold herself up sitting upright. She learned of functional medicine, started researching and trying and learning and understanding and implementing, and she got on a ketogenic diet. And her ketogenic diet, she calls she has three diets in her book called The Walls Protocol. The first one is called The Walls Diet. The next one is called The Walls Paleo Diet. And the third diet is called, that she lives her life on, is called The Walls Paleo Plus, which is essentially a ketogenic diet. And with following these lifestyle changes and following the diet she lives by, she not only got out of her wheelchair, she walks again, and not only that, she rides a bike as well as a horse. Now, in her book, The Walls Protocol, again, she calls her ketogenic diet the Walls Paleo Plus Diet. And on the slide I have up right now for people on the webinar, you are seeing numerous listed nutrients, vitamin D, vitamin E, calcium, magnesium, vitamin A, vitamin B6, folate, which is vitamin B9, zinc, thiamine, which is vitamin B1, vitamin C, niacin, iron, riboflavin, which is vitamin B2, and cobalamin, which is vitamin B12. And the next column next to that, you're seeing the percentage that people usually get of each of those vitamins and minerals from the standard American diet. And the last column, you're seeing the amount of percentage that a person on the Walls Paleo Plus and that she's getting on a regular basis from her ketogenic diet. So let's, for example, give you cobalamin, which is vitamin B12, which is extremely important for the nervous system and the brain. The standard American diet gives the average person about 201% of vitamin B12, but her ketogenic diet gives someone as much as 524%. So it's more than twice as many as much B12 in the ketogenic diet as it is in the standard American diet. Let's look at another one, vitamin D. Vitamin D is like a hormone. It is extremely important to our overall health and also into blood sugar control. The standard American diet gives the average person about 31% of the needed amount of vitamin D a day. The Walls Paleo Plus, or a ketogenic diet, gives someone 59%. So again, more than double on a ketogenic diet than you're going to get on the U.S. typical diet. Let's look at one more. Let's look at vitamin C. Vitamin C is an amazing vitamin that helps keep us healthy, decreases free radicals, and is an antioxidant. On the typical U.S. diet, the average person is going to get 133% of the needed amount of vitamin C, which is a lot. But on a ketogenic diet and Dr. Wall's Paleo Plus diet, she's getting as much as 393% of the amount of vitamin C, which is going to help her with her chronic disease condition stay healthy. And it's triple what you're going to get on the typical American diet. So the myth that we're not getting enough vitamins and minerals on the ketogenic diet is just not correct. Myth number three, a ketogenic diet raises cholesterol, which could increase the risk of heart disease. Now, another health writer by the name of Ellen Davis, who's the author of the Kinetic Diet Resource, writes, quote, "This, I think, is the biggest myth associated with low-carb ketogenic diets. It's actually based on a lie that saturated fat and cholesterol causes arteriosclerosis and heart disease. There has never been any scientific study published or unpublished which links cholesterol and saturated fat to heart disease. What truly causes the plaques to build up in your arteries and then become unstable and break off and go downstream, causing heart attacks and strokes, folks, is inflammation. And one of the most inflammatory chemicals to our body, joints, and nervous system is glucose. Now, of course, the best fats come from things like nuts, nut butters, seeds, avocados, clean oils, salmon, and lean meats. So of course, as we've already emphasized and will continue to emphasize, focus your attention on good, healthy fats. Now let's talk about side effects. Because you must understand that when you are making the switch from the standard American diet, or even a more healthy rainbow diet, a Mediterranean diet, let's say, and you're shifting your body from burning glucose as a fuel to a low-carb diet like the ketogenic diet, the body will need a little time to adjust to your new eating habits and to transition from using one type of fuel to another. So using glucose as fuel to using ketones as fuel. Now, because the standard American diet is higher in carbohydrates, the body is going to need to prepare itself to live on a ketogenic diet or a diet without carbohydrates. The adjustment period is known as what's called the keto flu, and it will typically last for a week or two, anywhere from 7 to 14 days. And some of the symptoms or side effects you can expect are not fun. I will be the first one to tell you, you're gonna hit bumps in the road and it's not gonna feel good for a few days. You're gonna feel tired and fatigued. You're gonna feel washed out. You're gonna have some sugar cravings for the first few days. You may feel dizzy. You may have increased brain fog at first, but realize that the other side of the hump here is that you're gonna have improved brain fog. You may feel a bit nauseous. You may at first have increased difficulty getting to sleep, and you may be a bit irritable, and your stomach may be a bit topsy-turvy. But again, luckily, there are some things you can do to lessen your discomfort, and please remember that these discomforts and these problems, they do not last long. A few days to as much as at the outside, depending on how toxic you are to begin with, as much as a week. But how are you going to survive that first week, and what are some things you can do to combat the keto flu? Number one, the first one is, if you're hungry, add more ketone type food. So add more fats, and again, healthy fats. This will give your body the added energy it needs while making the conversion from using glucose to using ketones for fuel. The last thing you want to do is grab, you know, crackers or other carbohydrates or grains. Make sure you are eating healthy fats. Number two, again, same concept, add more calories. Remember that you are coming off a high-carb diet, so you will need some added calories as you transition to leaner foods, especially if you are an active person. Now, number three here, you're going to want to add more salts to your diet at first. You see, your insulin levels will drop on the ketogenic diet. And in doing so, your body will not retain excess water. You're going to be peeing more, and you're going to be losing more water, and therefore also losing sodium. So you want to take in more salts in order to keep yourself hydrated. And of course, just along with this, number four is you're going to want to make sure you're drinking enough water. Due to the water loss of changing from glucose to ketones, you may experience headaches, fatigue, and nausea the first few days due to dehydration. So obviously, in order to combat that, make sure you are drinking plenty of clean, healthy water to ease these side effects. Now, another good way to get many of the nutrients needed whenever you're on the ketogenic diet, but particularly in that first week, is to drink a nice warm bone broth, which provides fat, it provides calories, it provides salt, and it provides plenty of water to your diet to help carry you through that first week. Now, one of the best, things to heal someone's gut and to optimize your health, and especially during the first week and forever through a ketogenic diet, is again to know how to make a wonderful bone broth. And one of the best ways I recommend doing it is if someone bakes a chicken, for example, let's say a grass-fed, organically raised chicken, and you eat it for dinner, let's say tonight, and then let's say tomorrow you cut off a bunch of the extra excess meat that you're going to use in, let's say, a chicken stew or something, or you're going to keep it for a chicken soup, you then would take the carcass of the chicken and instead of throwing it in the garbage, put it in your crock pot and fill that crock pot with water and add a little salt. And you can even add some greens if you want and some carrots and leave them in there just to be part of the broth. And then you're going to simmer it either all day or let's say overnight. I've done it overnight on a regular basis. The next morning, you're going to use a slotted spoon with the holes in it to be able to get all the bones out. And all the bones are going to be falling apart now because they've been simmering all night. And all the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients and the glucosamine and the chondroitin for your joints are going to be coming out of those bones and those joints of the chicken. And you now have a crock pot full of wonderful bone broth. And you want to drink about a teacup size a day or once a day, especially during that first week of the keto diet. And again, tomorrow, another resource we will post for you on the Discover Health Facebook group is a wonderful recipe, a link to a recipe for bone broth. So now, folks, you're doing all this dietary changes, and you're going through this, what they call the keto flu and everything, and you're doing all this, but how do I know I'm being successful, that I am actually, or you are actually in ketosis? You see, when ketones build up in the blood, they spill over into your urine, meaning they're in your blood goes through your kidneys, and the ketones are going to be removed from your body by spilling into your urine. So one way to test for whether you're in ketosis is to see if you're finding ketones in your urine. Another way to test is that one of the ketones called acetone gets expelled from the body through your lungs. You breathe it off. And this gives off from the breath a fruity odor. So to know if you are in what's called nutritional ketosis, which is defined as a blood ketone level ranging from 0.5 to 3.0 millimoles per liter, which is a specific measurement of how to measure ketones. There are three methods to measure ketone levels. The first one, and actually the most accurate, is actually blood testing with a device similar to what diabetics use to test their sugar levels. You buy a device and you buy these little prick things and you prick your finger and you use a test strip and a handheld ketone monitor and a device to read the results. And this is, as I said, the most accurate measurement available. But the device and the test strips, because there's a lot of parts to this, can actually be pretty expensive compared to the other methods of testing for ketones. Now, there are two primary ketone monitoring devices for blood, and one is called Precision Extra, and the other one is called Keto Mojo. So again, that's Precision Extra or Keto Mojo if you're out there taking notes on this. The second way is urine testing. And urine testing is much more inexpensive and widely available than the first avenue I just discussed, but it is less accurate than blood testing. It is the best to know when you have shifted to true ketosis, as it shows the ketones spilling into your urine. So buying urine strips, all you do is you buy urine strips at a pharmacy, and they're pretty, as I said, widely available. You go to the pharmacy and just ask, do you have ketone strips for urine? And you can obviously pee in a cup and then put the strip into the urine and see if it's showing that you are urinating out ketones. And if you are, then you're in ketosis. And the final third way to test is the breath testing with a breath ketone meter. And this is relatively new to the market and less accurate also than blood testing. And what it's measuring, again, is acetone in the breath. And it also requires a handheld device, but not any test strips. So once you purchase the device, you do not have to buy any other supplies. And the device that's out there is called Ketonix, K-E-T-O-N-I-X, Ketonix. Now, one thing of note that I want to make sure I comment on is that the fat burning state of ketosis is extremely difficult to maintain 24 hours a day, day in and day out for a long period of time. So it is actually helpful to have a method of testing to know when you are in true ketosis and not in true ketosis. But also realize that it is typical and actually more optimal for your health to be in and out of nutritional ketosis. So your body, in one way, and I'll give you an analogy in the idea that you don't always want to eat the same amount of calories every single day of your life, because then your metabolism knows what you're going to do. It becomes familiar with that, and it's not going to lose weight. You're just going to stay the same as what you are because you're always eating the same thing and the same amount of calories. The same thing for ketosis or other metabolic avenues. I recommend people, from a calorie perspective, have a low-calorie day, followed by a high-calorie day, followed by, let's say, a medium-calorie day. And that's going to cause your metabolism to always be a little off balance and not stay always the same. So the same thing with ketosis is that you may be in ketosis and on a very strict ketotic diet for 1 or 2 days, and then maybe add a few other carbohydrates the next day, or not as strict, for a day or two, and then maybe back into ketosis. So don't get so neurotic, if you will, around trying to stay in ketosis 24/7. It's very difficult to do, and it's not the most optimal way to do this. But you will actually learn to know by how you feel whether you are truly in ketosis or not. And then testing will confirm it for you over time. Now, if you're going to engage in the keto diet or any other type of optimal health diet for you, and you're doing your detective work and your research for yourself and trying to find out what works for best for you, but you're working on it, please don't forget to check in along your journey to celebrate your successes. What you are embarking on is not easy, and there will be many struggles along the way. So make sure you create a fun way to acknowledge your hard work by doing something special. And you decide how often you want to check in and schedule this so that those days never get missed. And so they are something you look forward to each week or each month. Now, another thing I want to emphasize is, with all we have talked about tonight, the biggest thing I want everyone to remember is that any and all diets should have their foundation in a rainbow of color. Whole, real foods of vegetables and some fruits full of phytonutrients, along with good healthy fats, and grass-fed, consciously raised and processed animal protein. Now, we've covered a lot here tonight, and you may be feeling a bit overwhelmed, but you've got this. You came for a reason, to make a more informed, better decisions on the food you eat for your health and well-being. You are on your way to making a difference in your life, and our hope at Discover Health Functional Medicine Center is that the tools provided today are just what you need to get started. And also, I want to take a moment here at the end of the talk to make sure I emphasize some of our events that are upcoming at Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, because we are always expanding and doing more for people and trying to find the right way to present these types of learning programs and events and information, that we are doing everything we can to try and help empower you to take control of your health and realize that you can reach optimal health if you're willing to walk the walk, talk the talk, and become a part of our community. Now, to end the evening tonight, I want to make sure that I let you know that all of the different resources that I've used to present this talk tonight and put it together will be put again or tomorrow on our Discover Health Facebook, closed Facebook group for you if you would like to follow those links to the different resources and do further reading and further education for yourself. And finally, thank you so much for attending our event tonight. It means a lot to be able to share our lessons with people who are ready to make a difference. Now it is time to implement some of the things we've discussed. But please remember to reach out if you have any questions or concerns. We are here to help you. And our website is, remember, discoverhealthfmc.com. And our phone number is 603-447-3112.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time, so you can truly live and play as long as you want.